We'll be looking at Psalm 31 in the New King James Bible today for our psalm meditation. Something that we don't talk about much is the purpose of these little psalm meditations. The idea of them is not to be a full sermon, not particularly to look at a lot of doctrine or something. The idea is that as we sing the psalms, is to be able to see Christ in them and to remind ourselves that the psalms are more than many people think that they are, to see Christ in the Psalms, redemption, to sing about the covenant, and to have a better understanding of what we're singing as we sing the Psalms. It started, from far as I know the history of it, with the idea that people had that hymns were necessary to sing New Testament concepts, and the meditations were an opportunity for the elders to remind people the depths that are really in the Psalms as far as New Testament-type theology. Now today, as we go through Psalm 31, I'm going to do something I've done one or two times, and that is I'm going to speak about what we're looking at. And then as we read it, I want you to read it along with me silently. Let me do it loud, out loud. But as we go through it, to look at it from the perspective that I'm talking about, to put it into, well, to put it not too fine a point in it, to put these words in the mouth of Jesus as he's speaking them. And I want you to try to see yourself in the context of when this psalm was sung by our Savior. As we start this psalm, well, to begin with, I am fully convinced, as I look through this, as I study Old Testament and New, different places, that this psalm is a collection of the thoughts of Jesus and the prayers of Jesus as he was praying to the Father in the garden on the night he was betrayed. As he was preparing to set about the actual work of salvation, as he was praying with agony in his heart and in his soul, looking forward to the suffering and the dying, but even worse, the separation from the Father, to take the wrath and shame of God upon himself on our behalf, when he prayed that this cup would pass before him if the Father would allow it, but above all, let your will be done. As he prepared to sacrifice himself for us, I believe this is one of the psalms that he was singing and praying there in the garden. So let's look at this. And let's think of this as Jesus kneeling alone in the dark, abandoned even by his disciples, betrayed and knowing that he was about to be slandered, lied against, a false trial, mocked, tortured, nailed to a cross, abandoned by his Father for a time as he bore our sin. Let's hear what he has to say. In you, O Jehovah, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Jehovah, God of truth. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in Jehovah. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Have mercy on me, O Jehovah, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side, while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. And at this point is when he would have said, may this cup pass from me. But it didn't end there, and he didn't give up. Remember, he went to see the disciples, and then he went back and prayed some more and gathered his strength. But as for me, he said, I trust in you, O Jehovah. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Jehovah, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. And never more had that sentence been done than there at the false trial where Jesus was condemned. And now he sees the future a little bit, because God granted him the Father granted him a little bit of comfort. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence, from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. He's looking now at his covenant people, those who would follow him, those who would be saved by his sacrifice. And he said, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Oh, love Jehovah, all you his saints, for Jehovah preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in Jehovah. And as I read this, I trust you saw the two or three different lines that were quoted by Jesus there, one on the cross and others during the trial. Again, as I've said before, over and over, if these were merely the words of David, the king in Jerusalem, they would have no place in the hymn book of the church for all time. But as these are the words of his descendant, but also his Lord, as he himself said, they're worthy to be sung. And as we look at this, we see the covenant of grace. We see the salvation bought by our Savior Jesus. We see his heart as he wept for us. And we see the depths of the sacrifice, the heights of the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. This is a great Christian song, not some Jewish poem from long ago, but a song of the faithful. And we'll sing the first part and sing Psalm 31a.